Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, drinking responsibly. knowing the nature of alcohol, is it possible to drink responsibly? Who should be responsible for someone who overindulges? First, let's acknowledge all those grown folks who can do what they want, when they want, and as often as they want to. There's a law, this is from all law, a law called the DRAM, D-R-A-M, shot law. It is a law that governs lawsuits over injuries caused by people who bought alcoholic drinks at bars or restaurants. All states have DRAM shop laws, they say. So basically these laws are, you know, if you bought some alcohol from one of these places, got drunk and got into an accident. So now you got a lawsuit coming up. I think Tiger Woods got something like that coming up. One of his, I guess he owns some kind of place where you drink at. Anyway, if you get hit by a drunk driver and can prove that the driver got drunk in a bar, you may have a DRAM shop cause against the bar, depending on the evidence, they say. There are two types of DRAM shop cases. First, party DRAM shop cases. And third party DRAM shop. So it goes to first to third. I don't even know why it does that, but that's odd. But the first party DRAM shop case is when the injured plaintiff is the person who was sold the alcoholic drinks. That means I went to the bar, got drunk, left, bam, got hurt. The third party DRAM shop case is when the injured person is someone other than the drunk person. Other than the person that got drunk at the bar. So if you were hit by a drunk driver, right, and the drunk driver got drunk at a bar, you would potentially have a third-party DRAM shop case against the bar. Potentially is an operative word here also. So, well, that sucks. You can sell alcohol in a public place, but you cannot get drunk or high in a public place. That place is people who drink at bars, clubs, and restaurants that serve alcohol on the high-risk list. People who are sober have accidents. People who are under the influence of alcohol are at higher risk of having an accident. That's whether they're intoxicated or not. People who are intoxicated are accidents waiting to happen. I think we all can agree with that. Bartenders and establishments can't know when someone has reached their limit. In fact, they don't know how many drinks, pills, joints, and that person had that day, that night. You know, how can they even know that? In fact, they don't know anything about you. You could have came in a bar drunk. So if you came in there high, drunk, got your four or five drinks in an hour or however the thing is, you know. Anyway, if a society or government perpetuates the sale and use of alcohol, there are some tragic side effects that come with that decision. Alcohol-related death is the ultimate cause. If we want to respect the safety of the community, no one should drink and drive. If we want to be safer, do away with alcohol consumption and put the responsibility on the individuals who make, distribute, sell, and use alcohol. Stop looking for people to blame if you are not going to hold everyone involved accountable. I just did a little research on just drunkenness, habitual drunkenness. That's a person who's being given to being intoxicated or the excessive use of intoxicating drink, or has lost power or the will by frequent indulgence. By laws in Pennsylvania, a habitual drunkard is put nearly upon the same footing as a lunatic. Well, that's very interesting right there. He is deprived of his property and his a committee is appointed by the court to take care of his person and estate. Habitual drunkenness is by statutory provisions in some of the states is a sufficient case for divorce. The reason why I'm citing this is because this is how serious the alcohol issue is in this country. You know, and U.S. News says authorities in Virginia are continuing to jail and fine people based on an old, obscure law known as the Habitual Drunken Statute. The law allows judges to apply the label to anyone convicted of driving under the influence or who has shown himself to be a habitual drunkard. So, drinking responsibly. Foundation for a Drug-Free World. What is alcohol? I usually start off with this. Alcohol is a drug. It's classified as a depressant, meaning that it slows down vital functions, resulting in slurred speech, unsteady movement, disturbed perceptions, and an inability to react quickly, which is why I said that if you drink at all, you should not be in a vehicle. Ethyl alcohol, the only alcohol used in beverages, is produced by the fermentation of grains and fruits. Okay, so just given the nature of alcohol, how do we get to the point, which is my question for today, how do we get to the point that you can actually drink responsibly when knowing what alcohol does to the body? You know, slows down the vital functions. Already you're not going to be able to function at your highest ability. Your functioning is going to be impaired, period. So I don't understand what's responsible about doing that, especially if you're driving or you have a lethal weapon on you or something like that, you know. Okay, so alcohol is a colorless, volatile, flammable liquid, right? It's an intoxicating ingredient that they put in these intoxicating beverages, right? So toxin is another word for poison. Poison and toxin are associated with causing illness and death. To drink responsibly is to poison yourself responsibly, intoxicate or become intoxicated responsibly. Is it really being responsible if you choose to poison yourself for recreation or exhilaration? Exhilaration is the sanctioning of self-poisoning indicative of a society that is supportive of being responsible or irresponsible. Which is it? Because it sounds like a very irresponsible act. So the definition of responsible is to be liable to be called on to answer for something, liable to be called to account as the primary cause, motive, or agent of something, right? Being the cause or explanation, mechanical defects were responsible for the accident. Things like that, right? Okay. So the question, it sounds like responsible drinking would make the drinker liable to answer for his conduct, obligations to preserve himself, to be able to choose between right and wrong, accountable and at fault. If he or she dies as a result of alcohol intoxication, he or she paid the ultimate price for getting high. The problem is, some genius has people thinking that you can be irresponsible and responsible at the same time. That is a hell of a marketing concept and a dangerous one at best. Make alcohol socially acceptable, appropriate, sexy, powerful, cool, and you have a chemical bomb ready to explode. Rather, the result be homicide or suicide. Who is really responsible for this tidal wave of destruction? Users don't produce alcohol. Bars and establishments don't produce alcohol. Who's flooding the country with alcohol? Who is allowing the country to be flooded with alcohol? because apparently we have an alcohol problem and we had all these laws referring and regulating alcohol, which seems a little odd to me, you know, because the problem seems to be the consumption of alcohol and everything else is just the effect of it. But anyway, if it is legal to sue the bartender or establishment that provided an overabundance of alcohol that led to someone's death, it should be legal to sue the vehicle that sanctions the production, distribution, and sale of alcohol, the state, and even the federal government. The fact is, alcohol consumption, though poisoning in itself, is an irresponsible act, especially if you expect someone else to control your degree of consumption. Come on now. He's taking the responsibility away from the onus off of the person that's made a decision to use the alcohol. Legislation supporting perpetuating irresponsibility, taking an unnecessary risk such as self-poisoning, are as responsible for deaths caused by alcohol intoxication or poisoning as the merchants who peddle it and the individuals who consume alcohol in the communities. The government does not legally support the sale of heroin. Therefore, there are no heroin commercials or advertisements. You don't go down the street, see yellow tape, you know, blue tape, I got that banging heroin. You won't survive this. Come get it, right? You don't see that. You don't see that on you're watching the Super Bowl and a heroin commercial pops up. Right? You don't see that. So if you use heroin, you are already in violation. Right? If you sell it, you're in violation because it's viewed as a dangerous drug. Well, apparently, alcohol is a dangerous drug also. But why are they trying to ride this pony and not the other pony? I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, it is not acceptable or customary to take someone out to buy a couple of bags of heroin because it's their birthday. Alcohol consumption is supported by the political state through legislation that gives it legitimacy. Again, legal is not synonymous with ethical, moral, right, or wrong. Okay? It's evil genius. What better way to sell a drug than to make the supplier and the distributor legally untouchable, not responsible, and unaccountable for the effects of their product? Focus the attention on the street peddlers, the bars and restaurants, etc., who spoon-feed users, abusers, and addicts. The socialization and indoctrination of a society to believe or accept self-poisoning as a method of entertainment, socializing, and achieving exhilaration is equivalent to socializing and indoctrinating a society to believe or accept heroin as a method of entertainment, socialization, and achieving exhilaration. That's a good feeling. And I'm not saying heroin doesn't cause some people to feel good. It's not the point. Or alcohol. It doesn't make sense, but it makes dollars and cents. And there lies the problem. Money talks and life walks. Money can change the mind, ethics, and morals of many. The root of the alcohol issue is that we believe that it is acceptable to self-poison and that we can do it in a responsible manner. That is an oxymoron. Reasonable poisoning? And we wonder why our children are so confused. Confused children grow up to be confused adults. Confused adults perpetuate confused ideas, customs, and behaviors. A society's demand for alcohol perpetuates the sale of alcohol just like any other drug. From pdresource.org, the risks and dangers of binge drinking, from March 16, from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. I can't really know because I don't know that many people. But we all have to, you know, just be real about alcohol. It's a poison. It's a toxin. It's dangerous. And a lot of bad things happen when we consume alcohol. And I'm, you know, come on. It really doesn't take all that I'm reading to even come to that conclusion. But I'm going to go ahead anyway. Alcohol abuse, binge drinking in particular, is thought to be a rite of passage for college students. But in reality, it's a very serious health epidemic. These guys are saying this is a health epidemic. Alcoholism, alcohol consumption. This is Peter Hendricks, PhD, associate professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, School of Public Health Department and Health Behavior. They say it's important to understand what alcohol is, why it's problematic, and what a person can do to minimize the risk should they choose to drink. Okay? Now, I don't think you got to be a college professor to know that this is a problem here. You know, it's interesting how the legislation goes, you know, with this here, makes these alcoholic beverages available when it's such a problem in the society. And now we got these lawsuits coming about, and we want to just blame, I guess, we want to take two steps up the ladder, the user, and the person that gave it to him, you want to stop right there with the fault and the lawsuits. But really, I think personally that's ridiculous. Understanding alcohol. Moderate drinking, as defined by the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, is no more than one drink per day for a woman and no more than two drinks per day for men. Translating to seven or fewer drinks per week for women and 14 or fewer drinks per week for men. A standard drink is a 12-ounce beer, 8 ounces of malt liquor, a 5-ounce glass of wine, or a 1.5-ounce shot of liquor. All right? I said the dangers of binge drinking, which I mean, death. We know that, right? So that's not a no-brainer. So alcohol leads to impulsive decisions and can be addictive, even though it's legal for those 21 years of age of over. College students should be aware of the dangers of drinking alcohol. Well, everybody should be aware. But apparently alcohol gets a pass for some strange reason here. Well, we know the reason. Money. And it's in demand. So, they also said even a small increase in, they talked about the, what's this thing, the BAC. That's the amount of alcohol content. They say even a small increase can decrease coordination, make a person feel sick, and impair judgment, which leads me to the whole part about, like, you get somebody drunk, like, yo, you don't have to. It's impacting on the human organism way before what they are considering as intoxication. Come on. I mean, like, what is the problem here? I don't understand why. I don't see any big push to regulate alcohol. In fact, I see in the community, certain communities, I see more places that sell alcohol. And just looking at this, is that responsible to put so many places that sell alcoholic beverages in a community that's already people who are already depressed? Now you're going to put this depressant in their community, make it available, more available to them. I don't know. That sounds like not a good, a responsible thing to do. And as you know, as I always like to say, it just might put something in your community, doesn't mean you have to use it, you know. But apparently, there are people who will do that. Murray explained that when the BAC gets even higher, amnesia or blackouts occur. You know, that's people who get so drunk, you know, they can't remember nothing. They might have had a fight with somebody. They can't remember they had a fight the next day. They're in danger of alcohol poisoning. It's very dangerous to assume that an unconscious person will be fine by sleeping it off, they say. So, National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. They say how alcohol affects on the body. They talk about drinking too much. I know there's people, they seem to be stressing this whole thing about what they call intoxication, having too many drinks and things like that. But from what I'm reading, this chemical has an impact on your body. You drink, you know, when you first drink it, it's impairing you. And I can say why people do drink it. You know what I'm saying? That's why you might have two beers, because it makes you feel good. You know what I'm saying? Or two shots or whatever, or, you know, whatever. You know, it's making you feel good. You feel mellow or whatever it is, you know, you want to feel at the time, whatever. You know, sometimes you're using alcohol to change you. But it has in changing you and you feeling that way, it's taking away your ability to function. You're not functioning at your highest level. You're not able to function like driving a car, crossing the street, riding a bike, even using your gun. You're not able to use it with the same level of sobriety because you're not sober. So my point here is, you know, back to the law, if somebody gave somebody too much to drink and things like that, there's a whole lot of things that variables that are there that take place for that decision to be made. And that's maybe why they say probably in the law, because you never know. A person come to a bar and might be drunk already. You just can't tell that he's drunk. So some people might get drunk and not have the limit that they're talking about. First, I don't know. But because some of the things that alcohol does, I mean, it seems to me alcohol is a problem and people are trying to dance around it. You know, I know they had prohibition back in the day and mobsters made millions of dollars when they are during the prohibition. But if alcohol is such a big problem here, is it one of the pillars of the economy now? Has it become that? Probably so. Anyway, I'm going back to what it does. The brain, that thing that you use to drive your car, that thing that you use to reach for your weapon, right? Or before you even decide it's a situation where you need to reach for your weapon. That thing you use to think with, you to navigate through social relationships, through conflict in the bar, that thing. So it's affecting your brain. They got that first. So I'm thinking maybe that's the first thing is affecting is your brain, based on the fact that you get high when you drink. And so we're going to say that's why they said brain first here. Alcohol interferes with the brain communication pathways and can affect the way the brain looks and works. These disruptions can change mood, which is very, very important, and behavior, which is very important because your mood is going to impact on your behavior. Because if I'm in a cranky mood and I'm in a bar, I might do something irrational. You know what I mean? So I'm armed, that's a problem. It makes it harder to think clearly. Oh, that's even worse. Now I'm driving my car down the street. Should I go? Should I stop? Can I make this light? Is it red? Is it green? Is it yellow? Did it just turn green? Red? Is it about to turn green? How fast am I going? Am I going fast at all? Am I on the right side of the street? You understand what I'm saying? So it's impacting your brain. So, and I think that's probably the most immediate thing that it impacts on. These other things are probably takes a little or longer. The heart. You're drinking a lot over a long period of time, they say. Too much on a single occasion can damage the heart. Well, I know that. They say too much on a single occasion can damage your heart. I would have thought that would happen like years of drinking. But one day, you drink a lot of alcohol and it could affect your own heart. Okay, you know, you get the high blood pressure, stroke, irregular heartbeats, stretching and drooping of the heart, muscle. You got the liver. Heavy drinking takes a toll on the liver. Well, that's something that's long term. So I know some, you know, people that do drink probably, you know, not worry about these things. But I think you should be concerned about this shit because, I know we've been indoctrinated and socialized to accept alcohol. You know, and which is odd, given all the information and that we have access to. And if you do use alcohol, at least know what you're doing. I think, you know, we should at least not be using alcohol in a blind sense. You know, and back to this thing about the law and persons suing people who they paid for a drink. You paid for a drink. Gave me the bartender money or the establishment. I'll have a Bacardi or whatever they drink. I don't know what they drink now. So you pay for it. You drink it. You got high. You got drunk. You left. Bam, you got an accident. You know, you come back and sue that bar. I think that's fair. You know what I'm saying? Unless the people in the bar were holding you down, pouring drinks down your throat. Now, that's a little different subject, you know. Anyway, the pancreas. Alcohol causes the pancreas to produce toxic substances that can eventually lead to pancreatitis, of course, a dangerous inflammation and swelling of the blood vessels in the pancreas. Cancer. The National Cancer Institute says, based on research, there's associated between alcohol drinking and several types of cancer. U.S. Department of Health Services lists consumption of alcoholic beverages as a known carcinogen. Known carcinogen? Carcinogen means something that causes cancer. All right? So, and I'm going back to my original thing that I said, that the problem appears to be the cell, the production, distribution, sale, and consumption of alcohol, right? That the society, the government, supports it. And then we want to make these laws that govern alcohol consumption. You're not going to control this. You know, oh, he had too much to drink in a bar. You don't know if that guy's drink while he was sitting down. You don't know. He might have bought two and drank five. You don't know what a guy's drinking in a bar. So trying to put this thing on a bartender, you know, suing people and things like that. If you want to sue somebody, sue the people that sanction this alcohol. That's what I say. Go at the top. You know, because if it's that bad of a situation, maybe alcohol shouldn't be sold at all. Which I know is not going to happen. Based on data from 2009, an estimated 3.5% of all cancer deaths in the U.S., right? That's about 19,500 deaths were alcohol-related. That's almost 20,000 people, 19.5. That's in 2009. Clear patterns have emerged between alcohol consumption and development of following types of cancer. I'm going to stop right here for a minute. We're going after a guy who may have gave a guy a drink too many because he was already intoxicated and he had an accident and might have hurt somebody, injured somebody's property or something like that. But here we got a product, that same product, that's the U.S. Department of Health and Services, right, lists alcohol consumption, right, as a known human carcinogen, right? The report on carcinogens, the National Toxicology Program of the U.S. Department of Health Services, right? And we have the National Cancer Institute. I mean, but we're going after this guy that gave this guy a drink. They'd say, I don't know who's monitoring that if somebody gave somebody too many drinks. How do you do that in a bar? Who's able to say, oh, yeah, I wasn't impaired, and I saw him get this guy 10 drinks in 1 hour. I don't know. Who's monitoring that? Anyway. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't look out for the people that you're serving drinks to. Don't get it twisted. What I'm saying is that you need to be responsible. If you're a drinker, you need to be responsible for what you do because you are responsible for what you put in your body, especially alcohol, because before you take that first drink that day, you know the impact that alcohol has on the body in terms of your brain and things like that. Anyway, they go on to say, clear patterns have emerged between alcohol consumption and development of the following types of cancer. This is, I don't want to get it. People are suing because somebody had, was drunk. They want to sue the bar because the guy got drunk, left, did something, caused something to happen to somebody else. But here we got alcohol. And these are, the National Toxicology Program of the U.S. Department of Health and Services, do they know what they're talking about? Does the National Cancer Institute know what they're talking about? They have head and neck cancer. Alcohol consumption is a major risk factor for certain head and neck cancers, particularly cancers of oral cavity, excluding the lips, throat, voice box. People who consume 50 or more grams of alcohol per day, approximately 3.5 more drinks per day, have at least 2 or 3 times greater risk of developing these cancers than non-drinkers. More risks of these cancers are substantially higher among persons who consume this amount of alcohol and also use tobacco. But this show is not about tobacco. But know that. Esophageal cancer. Consumption is a major risk factor for a particular type of esophageal cancer called esophageal squamous cell carcinoma. In addition, people who inherit a deficiency in an enzyme that metabolizes alcohol have been found to have substantially increased risk of alcohol-related esophageal squamous cell carcinoma. I'm just saying, if you want to go after somebody, go after the problem. The real problem seems to be the production and distribution and the people who allow it to be produced and distributed. You know, and I'm not taking the responsibility from the people that use it or the people who peddle it to the people that use it. I'm just saying, as long as you have these large shipments of alcohol flooding the communities, people are going to continue to use it. And at some point, at all points, things need to happen. Because you can't control alcohol. Alcohol you take to control you. That's why you're drinking it, to change you. Liver cancer, which that's the one everybody probably knows about. Breast cancer, more than 100 studies have looked at the association between alcohol consumption and breast cancer. And they said 53 of these studies, which included a total of 58,000 women with breast cancer, show that women who drink more than 45 grams of alcohol per day, approximately three drinks, had 1.5 times the risk of developing breast cancer as non-drinkers, a modestly increased risk, they said. That may not sound like much to you, but that's a lot to the people that actually were impacted upon. They said the Million Women Study in the United Kingdom, which included more than 28,000 women with breast cancer, provided a more recent and slightly higher estimate of breast cancer risk at low to moderate levels of alcohol consumption. Every 10 grams of alcohol consumed per day was associated with a 12% increase in the risk of breast cancer. Colorectal cancer. Alcohol consumption is associated with modestly increased risk of cancers of the colon and rectum. The immune system. Drinking too much can weaken your immune system, making your body a much easier target for disease. Okay? Chronic drinkers are more liable to contract disease like pneumonia, tuberculosis, than people who do not drink. Okay? So as I said, alcohol is very, very toxic. It's a very toxic issue in our community. You know, and I hear, you know, this thing about, you know, suing the establishment that sold it. I guess that's like sell crack to somebody and they got high and robbed somebody or something like that. Beat somebody in the head or something like that. Shot somebody, whatever. And so I'm going to, are you going to sue the crack dealer? Because that's the same scenario. So one guy is not legally protected. The other guy is legally protected in terms of selling, but they have this little hiccup there where if you don't watch what you serve the person, you could be held accountable for that. So it doesn't take much for to be impaired by alcohol. So in terms of that whole thing about suing an establishment, if you're intoxicated, it will. Another thing about it, well, if he appears to be intoxicated, then that one drink ain't really gonna make much of a difference. He's probably gonna, you know, not make it home that night anyway. So anyway, but shouldn't give him that one drink. Personally, shouldn't give him no drinks, because if he didn't have any drinks, maybe he would have made it home. Maybe the person he ran over would have be home. You know, would have made it home also. So, to induce or risk inducing these degenerative symptoms and outcomes is not rational or responsible. The only thing it's socially acceptable to and legal. So, if you want to hold someone responsible for someone's drinking too much, start at the top. Not the bar or establishment's owners, but the people who made it possible to sell alcohol in the first place, or simply hold the person consuming the alcohol responsible. If a bartender thinks that a person has had too much to drink, he shouldn't give him more or her more. But he shouldn't go to jail or be sued because someone decided to intoxicate themselves. Isn't that what alcohol does? Why they drink it in the first place? Do we really expect a bartender to keep a count on how many drinks every person has? Just about everybody in the bar drinking are impaired and at risk. Many people drink at a state drink to a state of intoxication and make it home without killing themselves or anyone else, but that does not make them responsible drinkers. If no one is making him drink, sneaking alcohol into the glass, not giving him or her a drink she is not asking for, don't scapegoat the other people for a drinker's poor decisions or outcome for their poor decisions. Drinkers should be responsible and accountable for what they choose to do. Say no to yourself, drinkers. How about make drinkers responsible for not drinking unless they have a designated person who will monitor their use or abuse of alcohol and see that they get home safely? How about don't drink and drive, walk, ride a bike, skateboard, or motorcycle? How about that? How about drinkers having enough sense to recognize when they have had enough before they have had enough? How about drinking in your own home? That way, even if someone dies, it's just you. You made the decision. If you get alcohol poisoning, and it's a sad thing, and I'm not saying it in a careless way, I'm saying it, at least you minimize the effect that you have on the community. If that's a traumatizing thing for you to kill yourself in the community, be it with a weapon, suicide by police encounter, or alcohol. But at least you didn't take anybody out with you. You know. So how about drinking in your own home where you don't have to go out and bother people, or people have to be bothered, or their lives have to be interrupted because you chose to be drunk? I don't know. How about people recognizing that drinking places themselves and others at risk and not putting anybody at risk? Is that even possible? You know, that speaks to the whole thing that I'm saying tonight, that is there a such thing as responsible drinking? Because in using alcohol, you are trying to reach a state of impairment. In reaching that state of impairment, your ability to respond to any kind of stimulus is compromised. So I guess my question is, how? It just seems like an oxymoron to me. Like, it's like, how can you even drink responsibly? That doesn't make sense to me. It's confusing. Which brings me to, how about not drinking at all? And I guess, no, that's like asking too much. But the problem is that we choose to drink and we think that it's okay. And if you're okay with drinking as a society, maybe the society should pay for the effects of drinking. The sanctioning bodies should pay for that. So because if you can sue a bar or a restaurant, you should be able to sue the people who's saying it, who gave them the green light to sell all alcohol. Why not go all the way up the ladder? Why are the people who actually are the pillars of the whole production and distribution, sale of alcohol, why aren't they being touched by this whole thing? If you can touch the bar, you should be able to touch the people that made it possible for the bar. And I'm talking about the politicians and the companies. And, well, we know why they can't do it, but they have laws and things like that. They have an ability to influence legislation, politicians, and so forth like that. But suing the bar is not doing anything. What does that do? And in doing that, you have to prove that the bartender just gave them too many drinks. And, like, you know, who knows how many drinks that person had? Just because they was drinking at a bar doesn't mean they had they got intoxicated because of the bartender. But then it does, because that's what alcohol does. That's the part that drives me crazy because isn't that that? Am I getting this wrong about alcohol? Don't you drink alcohol to get a buzz, to change it, to impair your state of mind, to get that mellowing effect? You have to compromise. You have to compromise some part of your ability to perform, even to just get that I feel good effect. Because when you feel good after drinking whatever it is you drink, then you know that your mental state and your ability to respond, right, is compromised. So I don't. That's not my definition of responsible. You should be responsible for anything that happens to you after that because you made a choice to get high. But I don't get the whole thing about the bartender and all that stuff. I know they say probably in that law. But I don't know. I think if you can sue the bar, you should be able to sue everybody. Sue one up the chain of command. Because it's not just a bar thing. It's a society, it's a government thing. And if it wasn't, if it was different, if it was heroin, then it's different. Government has the government says, hey, you can't sell that. We arrest you if you do that. So you can't sue the government for that. Unless the government is bringing heroin into your community, but that's another show. But as far as alcohol is concerned, the government sanctioned it. So why not go up the ladder? You know, so it's more money up the ladder also. You get to the government, you have more money. Why can't they be, to use the word for the day, responsible for the things that they have sanctioned, especially in terms of alcohol, knowing what alcohol is? Why can't the government, the sanctioning bodies of government, be held responsible for the production, distribution of a substance known to be harmful to the community? Do we have any lawsuits for any of these cancers caused by alcohol? Not that I know of, but I wouldn't know. But the point is, they're making a connection. And maybe this is just some legal stuff that somebody thought of, came up with in order to, you know, some lawyers say, oh, I can make money this way. And let me see, you know, I don't know. Maybe somebody's politician person got injured, somebody close, and they started this legislation. And it's only, you know, at the grassroots. I mean, come on now. That's just like stopping. It's equivalent to, you know, you fighting drugs at street level. Like, yo, that's not the only level where drugs, you know, exist on. You know, come on. You know, same thing with alcohol. I mean, is that something that, you know, you can sue the bar. You should maybe sue people that sold it to the bar, the people who said that they could sell it to the bar. I don't know. Think about that. What do I think? I think so. You know, I mean, if we're going to sue the bar, going up the chain of command, going up the ladder, you know. But the person who actually took that drink, decided to go into that bar and take that drink, it doesn't excuse his behavior or anything. You know, you're not innocent of, even though it's an accident, you're not innocent of anything. You are, you know, irresponsible because you went out, you got drunk, or you didn't. Because you don't have to be technically intoxicated to be impaired. So this thing impairs the brain. I guess that first drink that you take is working on your brain and your capacity to navigate at your full capacity. So your train of thought, your mood, and all that stuff. So I don't know. You know, it seems like this is not going to go anywhere because we know that the industry itself, that's a billion-dollar industry, the alcohol business. I forget how much money they make. I think they say alcohol sales is 2018 reached $253.8 billion, which is an increase of 5.1% or 12.4 billion. So it's not going anywhere. that's one of the reasons why I'm saying that it's not going anywhere, because it's about the money. That's why I said money talks and lives walk. Because nobody, you know, they don't really care, because this money is flowing. And like any other drug, this is only able to flourish because there is a demand. So what is it about us that we demand self, you know, poison, that we think that it's okay, that we, you know, we sensationalize it, that we use it in recreation, you know, we use it in initiations, we use it in weddings, celebrations. What is it about us that we feel the desire to be impaired? Is it not, you know, better to be, you know, conscious and unimpaired than it is to be unconscious and impaired? I don't know. Maybe I'm old fashioned. I don't know. But I think that, you know, we need to come to a conclusion about, you know, what state of mind we would like people to be. I don't see ads in the paper saying we're looking for somebody with impaired or, you know, capacity. You know, they want you to be sober. They don't even talk about it because they assume that you're that's not even an issue. It's not even talked about. So with that in mind, I know this is probably not a good topic, as I said, you know, with alcohol being a $253.8 billion industry a year and increasing. I know today's topic is probably not something a lot of people want to hear. It's summertime, and you know, people, you know, Saturday, and that's what people doing. They tossing it up. Game, they got what they got, the NBA, you know, got the fights on tonight. They got all kinds of stuff going on. People tossing it up. And I understand that I'm probably sounding like oddball out, but that's okay. I threw the information out there, and I hope that you guys could get something from that. But while you're out there, just watch your alcohol consumption. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and ride a bike, like I said, skateboard or motorcycle, anything like that. Be safe, at least. Be safer. You know, definitely don't drink and drive. Get a designated driver who's not drinking. Someone to watch you, someone to say, hey, you had enough, and, you know, call it a day. All right? I want to say, you know, care about y'all, care about your health and your mental state of mind, spirituality. I hope that everyone is looking to forward to uplifting themselves in every way. Until next Saturday, I want to say peace, y'all.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.